Welcome to Raider Rage. This is DJ Smoove on radio.tenminken.edu, and this is Monday, so Raider Rage is on. So in today's show, we're going to talk about what happened yesterday between the Oakland Raiders and the Seattle Seahawks. Then we'll talk about the rumor out there about Mark Davis and John Gruden. And then the last segment, we'll jump in and preview the game between the Oakland Raiders and the Denver Broncos, which is this Sunday at 1. So let's get right into it and talk about what happened between the Raiders and the Seahawks game. So, Raiders lost again, 30-24 to the Seattle Seahawks, the Super Bowl champions in Seattle, 30-24. And I don't want to say, I'm actually, you know, usually I'm angry and I'm like frustrated that we're losing and I'm disappointed. But yesterday's game, even though we lost, I feel kind of good about what the Raiders did yesterday. I'm not mad, not frustrated. I am frustrated that we haven't won a game, but I usually don't like taking moral victories, but honestly, yesterday was a moral victory game. There were a lot of moral victories in that game yesterday. The first one being that after the Raiders got down 24-3 at halftime, they came out and the special team sparked the Raiders. They got a blocked punt for a touchdown. The defense played well yesterday, even though they gave up 30 points. All 30 points wasn't because of them. The defense did play. They played great against one of the best, considered the best offenses in the league. They held Marshawn Lynch, one of the leading rushers in the league, to 67 yards on 21 carries. They did give him up 2 touchdowns, but one touchdown was just, he's just too strong and just like carried 6 guys into the end zone. And another one was the Seahawks got a good field position because of a turnover. And honestly, that's what killed it for the Raiders, was the 3 turnovers, 3 straight turnovers, 2 interceptions and a fumble on the kickoff. That's what killed the Raiders yesterday. That and the Raiders couldn't run the ball. Raiders could not run the ball yesterday, like always, and it proves why they're the worst team at running the ball in the NFL. The Raiders only rushed for 37 yards on 18 attempts, where the Seahawks rushed for 149 yards on 38 attempts. The Raiders got to run the ball more, but I can understand why Tony Sparano doesn't want to run the ball a lot, because when they do, they don't get no production. I don't know if it's the running backs being hesitant or the offensive line's not making holes for these running backs to run through, but I see why Tony Sparano has Derek Carr throw 41 times a game. And, you know, Derek Carr, not his best performance, but he did clean it up in the second half. You know, he threw 24 for 41, 194 yards, 2 touchdowns, 2 INTs. So, yes, we lost, and it's frustrating because as a fan, you want your team to win. And trust me, I've been wanting, you know, like I want this team to win, get their first victory. But yesterday was not a bad performance. In the first half, it was. It was disgusting. It was 24-3. I really thought, I was like, here we go again. I was like, the floodgates are about to open. It's about to be just an ugly blowout. But whatever Tony Sparano said to that team in the locker room, it registered with them and it clicked. And they started playing better. Special teams performed well. They got some big kick returns from TJ Carey, the kick returner. Big, got him in good field position. He did fumble one time. That was his only bad mistake he had as the kick returner. He also, TJ Carey played played a did a great job playing starting corner for Terrell Brown, who was injured. So TJ Carey had a good game, and you know the offense. I mean the defense did their thing. They were putting pressure on Russell Wilson the whole time. They kept him contained. They didn't let him get comfortable, and it proves that. Because Wilson only had 17 completions of 35 attempts. He only threw 179 yards. No touchdowns. No interceptions as well. They did have one interception, but DJ Hayden did not. He didn't possess the ball. It hit the ground. But so the defense did great, you know. They were putting pressure on the quarterback. They stopped the run, and they made the Seahawks a one-dimensional team. Three straight turnovers, like I said before, killed the Raiders. Killed them, definitely. Just because the Raiders can, in the first half, the Raiders, yes, the defense was holding the Seahawks to field goals, and the Seahawks didn't miss a field goal, but the Raiders weren't taking advantage of those opportunities. They just gave them right up. Derek Carr, the first interception, one interception, it got tipped and the linebacker got it. That was just a good play by the linebacker. And then the second one, it was just miscommunication between Carr and his receiver. The receiver didn't know what the whole plan was, and Richard Sherman just intercepted it. But other than that, the offense at the end started putting points on the board. Because I was watching the game in the first half, and I was just thinking, okay, tomorrow I'm going to just say, you know, the offense can't score. They need to put points on the board. But they did. But the special teams did. It sparked the play. It sparked the energy for the team. That blocked punt for a touchdown sparked the energy, and the Raiders started to get it going after a while. But still, the Raiders need to start running more. Not running more, but they need to get more production from the running game, because 37 yards is not acceptable. It's not. McFadden, Reese, when they give Reese the ball. That's what I understand. I don't understand why whoever, like Greg Olsen, the offensive coordinator, needs to get Marcel Reese more involved. He's a Pro Bowl, All-Pro fullback that the Raiders hardly use. He had one rush yesterday for 10 yards. That's pretty good. That was better than what McFadden had. He had 13 carries for 20 yards. So the Raiders, I don't want to say great. They did a great job, but it was a good job. They didn't bow down. They didn't like just lay down when the odds were against them, when it was 24-3. And honestly, this team should not bow down to anyone, because honestly, no one has high expectations for them except themselves. No one does. So they shouldn't worry about what other people think, because people have nothing to think about. They have no expectations. So the Raiders should play their hearts out every game. They should. They really should. So it was a well-performed game from, you know, all sides, both sides of the ball. Offense got it like always. They started slow, but they got it going in the second half. Michael Rivera, the tight end, had a good game. He had two touchdowns, eight receptions, 38 yards. James Jones was there. Andre Holmes was productive. But the one receiver that honestly needs to be either get cut or not have any playing time at all is Denarius Moore. Denarius Moore is just, I don't know what happened to him. His rookie year, he was outstanding. But now it's like, why is he on the field? That's what it seems like. I don't even know why he's on the field. One, he was like lazy on one route, and Derek Carr expected him to go somewhere else, and he went the other way. And Derek Carr, you could tell Derek Carr was frustrated with him. He told him like straight up, like, "Hey, you gotta go where you're supposed to go, not where you want to go." And The Raiders, they put up a good fight. They did. Put up a great fight. Great fight. It's just, they're killing themselves. They beat themselves all the time. All the time, they're beating themselves. The three straight turnovers and the penalties. Five penalties for 69 yards. It just, that kills them. I remember it was 24-17. It was like third and like five for the Seahawks. And the Raiders got a stop. It was an incomplete pass, but Carlos Rogers held the receiver. It was even like far away from the play. It was so unnecessary. Like, he didn't have to hold the receiver, and the Seahawks got an automatic first down, and that killed us. They got the automatic first down, and they scored they got a field goal out of that drive, where if Carlos Rogers didn't hold, the Raiders would have got the ball and maybe tied the game. And by watching this game and how the Raiders performed yesterday, you can tell that, yes, their record may show that they're the worst team in the league, but that's not the case. That is not the case. Teams are now not overlooking the Raiders, whereas in the first four games when Dennis Allen was the head coach and we were getting blown out every game, we were the worst team. But now with under Tony Sparano, this Raider team is actually, I don't want to say not that bad, but they're not just some team that other teams expect to get an easy win, because it's going to be a fight. The last four games under Tony Sparano have been close. The Arizona game's been close. San Diego game was close. The Seattle game was close. And the Cleveland game was close. They've been all close games. The Raiders could have won each of those four games. It's just they beat themselves at the end. It's either turnovers or penalties or not getting enough production from the running game, or the offense performing and the defense not showing up, or the vice versa, like the defense showing up but the offense not showing up. There hasn't been that one game where both sides of the ball have just shown up and played well together. And that's what the Raiders need. And that's what the Raider fans have been waiting for years now. We've never had that one game where the offense and the defense played well enough together. It's either the defense played well, but the offense couldn't put points on the board. Or the offense was putting points on the board, but the defense couldn't hold the front when the offense needed to. The Raiders need that one game where everything just goes the right way for them. And it hasn't been that this season. This season is just, it hasn't been like that for us. It hasn't. For the Raiders, it has not been like that. Everything has not gone the Raiders' way this year. If it's, you know, the holding penalty against New England that nullifies the Darren McFadden touchdown, and then after Derek Carr throws an interception to lose the game. So, things like that. Things like that. The Raiders need just everything to just go their way, and it hasn't happened this year. It hasn't. But they played well. The Raiders played well in Seattle, where it's tough to win. It's been tough to win the last couple of years. The Raiders overcame that 24-3 deficit. They brought in within a touchdown. The Raiders at the end, after the onside kick, almost had a chance to recover the ball and get the ball back and win the game. It went through the Seattle's receiver's hands. It slid because it was raining. The ball slid through the hand, and a couple more feet, and the Raiders dive on the ball, and it's their ball, and we're, you know, it's a ball game. So, like I've been saying, the first four games, the Raiders were the worst team in the NFL. No doubt. I couldn't argue that. I wouldn't argue that. But now, watching them the last four games, they're not the worst team in the NFL. Their record may show it. 0-8, yes. We are, you know, we are primed to get the first round pick, the first overall pick in next year's draft. But they're not the worst team. Because they've been playing with, you know, these good teams the last four games. You know, Arizona's no joke. Arizona has the best record in football. And the Raiders almost won that game. San Diego Chargers. Yes, they've been declining lately. But at that time, the Chargers were considered one of the best teams in the NFL. And the Raiders gave them a game. Cleveland Browns. Cleveland Browns are 5-3, if you guys don't know. So they're no joke either. And the Raiders had a chance to win that game. It's just the turnover by McFadden, the fumble, caused the Raiders, you know, to give up that game. The Seattle game yesterday. Seattle are the Super Bowl champions. We were in Seattle with the 12th man in that environment, and the Raiders did not back down. They fought adversity. They were down 24-3 at halftime. And they made it a game, and they outscored the Seahawks 21-6 in the second half. So, yes, we did not pull out the victory yesterday. The Raiders did not pull out the victory yesterday. And, yes, it's frustrating because I just wanted to get that first win, so get that monkey off our backs. But you got to look at the moral victories. And the moral victories is that the Raiders went toe-to-toe with the Super Bowl champions in their stadium in that environment. And they did not back down. They did not back down. They got down early. They had a horrible first half, but the great second half. If the Raiders can translate that second half to next week's game against the Broncos, you can expect an upset. Because the Broncos did not look good yesterday. But we'll talk about that more that later on in the show. All I'm saying is that the Raiders are they're close. They're close into being – they're competitive now. They're competitive. They're not this team where teams expect to walk over because that the Raiders are not that team. The Raiders – I just feel like once the Raiders get that monkey off their back and get that first win, things are going to, you know, turn around and things are going to be better. So the Raiders got to get that first win, and it's going to be tough. So, anyways, we'll talk about – the Raider-Denver Bronco game later on the show. But next up, we're going to talk about the rumor between what people are saying about telling Mark Davis about John Gruden. So we'll be back after this message. Predictable, vanilla plain, and all the mannequins, they look the same. There's no one else like you, one of a kind, and I'm a lucky guy, cause you're all mine. And you say you're scared that I won't be there, baby, I swear I'm not going anywhere. You can change your head. You like your pizza cold. Yeah, I'm falling for you. Falling for you. You can change your hair 5 times a week. You can change your name. Get a little bit crazy. You can dance in the rain. Rock your second and shake. Everything that you do, baby, I'm falling for you.
the end of the night. We should say goodbye, but we carry on while everyone's gone. Never felt like this before. Are we friends or are we more? As I'm walking towards the door, I'm not sure. But baby, if you say you want me to stay, I'll change my mind.
Welcome back to Raider Rage. This is DJ Smoove, and you're listening to Raider Rage on the one and only radio.dominican.edu. So, like we said, Raiders lost 30-24 yesterday, last night, to the Seattle Seahawks. And it was a competitive game, and it's competitive because, you know, I just feel like the team is playing harder because of Tony Sparano. And honestly, like, Tony Sparano deserves a chance to, you know, be hired as the full-time head coach for this Oakland Raider team. Because I feel like it's a good fit. Like, he's scrappy, and I feel like our team's, like, scrappy. We got a bunch of young guys, a bunch of, like, outcast guys. And that's how I feel. I just feel like it's a perfect fit. But, you know, the front office, Mark Davis, the general manager, Reggie McKenzie. They're obviously, like, I'm not surprised, I'm not angry, but they're obviously looking at other candidates for the head coaching job, which is understandable because that's their job and they just want what's best for the Raiders for the future. So, you know, there's been names thrown out there like Jim Harbaugh of the 49ers, because obviously there's rumored to be mess over there in San Francisco, and I bet after yesterday's game, there's going to be even more mess, more outrage from the fans, and the front office is going to be like pressured into making a move. So, you know, Jim Harbaugh's been thrown out there. Mike Holmgren, who else? David Shaw, the Stanford head coach. So there's just been names thrown out there, and there's been this one name that Raider fans love to hear come back to the Raiders, and that's John Gruden. And if you guys don't know who John Gruden is, he was the Raiders head coach back in the early 2000s. He had a good run with the Raiders when they had Rich Gannon, Tim Brown, Jerry Rice, Lincoln Kennedy, Charlie Garner, all them, you know, Charles Woodson when he was drafted in his prime. And the Raiders and John Gruden had a bad falling out after the Tuck Rule game. John Gruden was traded to the Buccaneers. And then the next year after that, the Buccaneers beat the Raiders in the Super Bowl. So there was a bad falling out, but things were patched up over time, and everything's good now. But, yeah, so there was John Gruden was thrown out there. And honestly, it hasn't been said or it hasn't been confirmed, but honestly, I think John Gruden is Mark Davis's like first choice. Like, if he can get John Gruden, then like Mark Davis would be down to do it. But I was reading a story, and I heard there's rumors out there stating that people close to Mark Davis, the owner of the Raiders, people close to him are saying that they don't think John Gruden is the right fit for the Raiders at this time. They saying that, you know, it might not be a good choice to make John Gruden the head coach right now. And we're just speculating here. We're just spitballing here. Like, John Gruden hasn't came out publicly and said, you know, oh, I want to come back and coach the Raiders. You know, he kind of killed the rumors, like, after Dennis Allen got fired, and they're like, oh, is John Gruden might come over. And he was like, you know, I'm happy broadcasting the Monday night games or whatever, the games he broadcasts. But people close around John Gruden said he's been, you know, wanted, like, he'll always go back to coaching, but it's got to be the right fit. And people around Mark Davis thinks the Raiders are the right fit, but people around Mark Davis are saying it's not the right fit. And there were some actually pretty good reason why they were saying it's not the right fit. Like, one of them is, first of all, the Raiders, like, yes, they have Derek Carr, the future quarterback of the Raiders. They got some nice pieces, and, you know, Khalil Mack. This year's draft class has been nice. Like, the Raiders got some good young players that they can develop and build around. But people are thinking that John Gruden wouldn't want to come to the Raiders because of how the state the Raiders are in, like, because they're 0-8. They're not that really talented, I guess. They're not that deep. And they don't have, like, talent like other potential head coaching spots in the NFL, which makes sense. But I feel that the Raiders do have talented guys that people just haven't seen yet. It's just they haven't talked a lot about them yet. And also another reason was that John Gruden would want, like, to be head coach, but also want to be, like, involved in the personnel decisions. Like he would want, like, kind of like a not general manager, like, spot, but he won't want that type of power. Like, he would want to, you know, sign free agents on his own. Like, there would be Reggie McKenzie's role would be kind of limited because John Gruden would be coaching, but also, like, getting the final decisions on what players to draft and who to sign, this and that. And people around Mark Davis saying that, you know, that's not a good thing because now he's just taking too much power, is too control, this and that. Honestly, I would love if John Gruden came back to the Oakland Raiders. I would love it. You know, Chucky back in the silver and black, the fans would be stoked, this and that. But I'm kind of like, the people around Mark Davis, what they're saying kind of makes sense. You don't want John Gruden to get, you know, like, power hungry and just, like, start, like, yeah, this is my team, this and that. And, like, you don't want all that. You don't want all that. Because that's what kind of happened at the end of Hugh Jackson's era as the Raiders head coach. Once Al Davis died, Hugh Jackson thought he was the owner of the team and started making some ridiculous trades, that Carson Palmer trade, we're still kind of suffering from it. He traded a first round pick, a second round pick, a couple of third round picks or something. He kind of traded the whole future for the Carson Palmer, and look at it now. Carson Palmer's winning games for the Arizona Cardinals. So I can make sense, because I'm not saying, like, John Gruden, like, I would trust John Gruden with the Raiders more than I would Hugh Jackson. Straight up. That, obviously, that makes sense, because I feel like John Gruden, nothing against Hugh Jackson, I just feel like John Gruden has a better football mind, better ideas. Like, he cares more for the Raiders, so I would trust him more. But you don't want that, because if John Gruden starts making some, like, not ridiculous trades, but ridiculous picks in the draft or ridiculous free agent signings, then the Raiders are just back to square one and we're just stuck. But I see why people around Mark Davis don't want this, because that is what happened, and then the Raiders are back to square one and it's just another long rebuilding process. And people in the front office of the Raiders know that fans are sick of rebuilding. Like, we want to start winning now. We want to be considered one of the best teams in the NFL, and one, like, a team that's contending every year, making the playoffs. Not this, what pick are we going to get in the top five? Are we going to get the fifth pick, the fourth pick, third pick, second pick, first pick? Like, we don't want that. We don't want to be one of those teams anymore. Like, yeah, it helps the team out when we're picking in the top 10, but I'm sick of it. I'm sick of seeing, like, watching the NFL draft every year and my team's picking fifth or fourth or seventh. I'm kind of done. I would rather pick 32nd, to be honest, because I want to start winning. I want to watch my team, the Raiders, play in January, play some playoff football. I haven't seen that a lot. Last time I've seen that, I was like 6 when the Raiders got blown out in the Super Bowl. I kind of remember it, but I don't fully remember it. I would like to, you know, fully remember what it's like for the Raiders to be in the playoffs. Is that hard to ask? I guess so. But anyways, we don't want one of those guys. And it makes sense why the people are saying that. But it was this, I don't know who the guy that wrote the report, but he was like, he looked at it from, like, opposing view, like opposing the people around Mark Davis saying that John Gruden's a bad idea. He was like, well, if the Raiders decide to move to Los Angeles, they're going to need that star power, because they don't have a player yet. Yeah, they have Derek Carr, Khalil Mack, but they're not stars yet. They're just up-and-coming stars. They're not a solidified star. So what the guy was saying is, like, if John Gruden came to the Raiders and the Raiders moved to Los Angeles, they would have that star and people would get interested around the Los Angeles area. And that makes total sense, because you don't want the Raiders moving to Los Angeles and people not knowing who the players are and not knowing who their coaches are. They need to have at least know somebody. People know the Raiders, but when I feel like, if you're like, not like real Raider fans know who the players are on the team, the current players are on the team right now. But there's all usually those fans that are Raider fans, but they really don't keep up of who's on the team, this and that. Trust me, I've met them. I know you've met them too. If you tell me that you haven't met a fan like that, I'm not saying a Raider fan, but sports fan in general, that they say that they're a fan of that team, but don't they're not current on who the players are and this and that. They don't keep up with the team, but they're, oh yeah, I'm that fan. But so there's fans out there. So all I'm saying is, those fans might not know who's on the team right now, but they do think about, like, oh yeah, they probably think about all the old players, this and that. So the that made sense. That point made, like, a lot of sense. Like, if the Raiders do decide to move to Los Angeles, which is a very strong possibility, by the way, if they do decide to move to Los Angeles, they are going to need that star power, a person like that can put people in the stands. And that makes total sense. Honestly, I just feel like this whole John Gruden coming to the Raiders is It's a long shot. I honestly don't see it happening. And honestly, like I said earlier in the show, I would like to see Tony Sparano get one more try, get a full season as the Raiders head coach. I just think that's the perfect fit right now. Like, he might not be Mark Davis's first choice or even Reggie McKenzie's first choice. But the way the Raiders have been playing, yes, they have not won a game. And they haven't, you know, they haven't won a game with under Tony Sparano as head coach. But these last four games have been competitive. The Raiders have fought hard each game. They haven't given up. They haven't laid down to any team. It's a perfect fit. Like, he's scrappy. We're like a scrappy team with like a bunch of young guys that want to get, you know, they want credit. Like, they want recognition in the league. And I like Tony Sparano. I really do. There's something about him. Like, his whole, like, personality and just, I don't know. I just think it's a great fit. I really do. Like, I think he's what we need. And with him, if Tony Sparano had a full season as head coach of the Oakland Raiders, honestly, I can see us winning 8 games. So, we'll see. But, yeah, I just don't see this whole John Gruden thing working out. I just think it's a long shot. I think what a better possibility is than the whole John Gruden coming back to the Raiders is this Jim Harbaugh situation. Because the 49ers are struggling real bad. They just lost a tough game to the St. Louis Rams. The 49ers were literally on the half-yard line, and Kaepernick tried to quarterback sneak it and fumbled, and they lost the game. So I can see, like, the San Francisco, I know some 49er fans up here, and they're pissed. They are pissed. And they're talking about, oh, why didn't Jim Harbaugh do this, or why he didn't do that? Why don't they run the ball anymore? Why are they trying to make Kaepernick into a Peyton Manning type? So they're talking to, you know, the fans are starting to, you know, chip. They're starting to talk, and, you know, there's some, I can, and there's already rumors out there saying that Jim Harbaugh and the 49ers front office are not clicking. They're not even talking to each other. And then, so I can see Jim Harbaugh, you know, switching sides of the bay, going from San Francisco to Oakland. That would be fun. And again, Jim Harbaugh has that same personality as Tony Sparano. So does John Gruden. So I'm saying, like, the Raiders need that type of coach. That scrappy, that, you know, that will give it all for his team. Like, he would lay it out for his team. That's what the Raiders need. I feel like, you know, you can tell, like, by watching these, you can tell that Tony Sparano, he's like changing, they were saying we need to practice better, so he's been changing the practice schedules, been challenging the players have been challenging the coaches, and the players have been challenging themselves, and it's just a good atmosphere. It seems like a good atmosphere. Yes, we're not pulling out victories like we want to, but we're not getting blown out every week. So, the Raiders need a type of coach like that. And I feel Tony Sparano is a good fit. If they give him one more chance, a full season as head coach, I think that would benefit them a lot. If they brought in the Jim Harbaugh, like, he's him and Tony Sparano kind of similar, that would be a good, perfect fit. They're just worried about coaching. The only thing that scares me about John Gruden coming back is I think he's going to get power hungry and he's going to ask for more control of the team, like executive decisions. And I just feel like that's just not. I'm scared because the last time one of our head coaches did that, we traded valuable draft picks, and it really didn't get us anywhere. So, the Raiders need a coach that they respect and that they know that will have their back, the same, because they'll have, let me rephrase this. Hold up. I'm just getting too excited thinking about coaches, this and that. But here, let me rephrase this. The Raiders need a coach that will have their back, and the Raider players know that. They know that they'll have each other's backs and that they won't leave them in the dust. Not the dust, but they won't just leave them and just won't, like, protect them and stuff like that. They just need a coach that they can trust and that's willing to fight for them. And that has, like, that personality, that scrappy personality that, like, Tony Sperano and Jim Harbaugh have to. Because the last time the Raiders were successful, they had a coach like that, and that was John Gruden. It's facts. You always need a coach like that that's out there, but that the players love to be around. Like, he's another player. And that's how I feel like Tony Sperano and Jim Harbaugh are. But we'll see. It's going to be interesting to see. Because Tony Sperano has put in a good case that, hey, I should come back as the Raiders head coach. He has. But there's also so many names out there that are being thrown out there that have big star of power, just like John Gruden, Jim Harbaugh, Mike Holmgren, and people like that. It's going to be very interesting to see. And also, now that Khalil Mack's being considered unblockable by some coaches and being considered one of the best young players at his position, maybe the best player at his position, and then you got Derek Carr, who's having a decent year and making a strong case for Rookie of the Year, Offensive Rookie of the Year. So, trust me, there's going to be some coaches out there that are going to, you know, they might not say it publicly, but inside, privately, they're going to think, like, hey, this is actually a pretty good job. It's not as bad. It's not a bad of a job as what people think. Trust me. If it was a bad job, names like Mike Holmgren, Jim Harbaugh, and John Gruden would not be thrown out there as potential head coaches or potential candidates for this head coaching job. But that's later on in the off season, we'll figure that out. So we're still in season. So when we get back from the break, we will talk about preview the game between the Denver Broncos and the Oakland Raiders. It's another AFC West division game. So this is DJ Smooth. You're listening to Raider Rage on the one and only radio.dominican.edu. And we'll be back.
Drove alone.
girl. Two foolish hearts wanted to run. And your mother cried.
Welcome back to Raider Rage. This is DJ Smooth. And you're listening to the Raider Rage on radio.dominican.edu. Quick reminder, be sure to tune in to radio.dominican.edu for a Penguin Press Pass that starts at 12:30. Real student, real news, just weekly stories about certain topics. So be sure to tune into that Penguin Press Pass again at 12:30 here on radio.dominican.edu. So it's that time of the year. It's, you know, halfway point, 8 games. The Raiders are 0-8, and they are at home next week against the 6-2 Denver Broncos, the AFC West leading Denver Broncos. But Denver just got spanked last night to the New England Patriots, 43-21. So it's good. I honestly, like, lately when the Raiders play the Denver Broncos, it's usually a blowout. The last couple of years, it's been a blowout. It has. It really has. But I don't know. Just, I feel more confident with this team, this Oakland Raider team. I feel like it's going to be a closer game than what people expect. I know they're going to be like, oh, Denver just got lost a big game against the Patriots, 43-21. In front of a national crowd, and they're going to be looking for blood against the Raiders. But I don't know. I don't feel that. I just feel like that's what they said about Seattle, because Seattle's been playing bad, and people were saying, oh, Seattle's not the same team. And people were like, oh, what, the Raiders better watch out because Seattle's going to are going to spank them. And the Raiders played toe-to-toe. They were there till the end. So I just feel like it's going to be a better game than what people expect. The Raiders are going to have a tough task, because the Denver Broncos, I feel like right now, are way better than the Seattle Seahawks. Have a better offense. Their defense, not so much, but the Denver Broncos offense is way better than the Seattle's offense. And the Raiders are going to have to go against Peyton Manning, one of the best quarterbacks of all time. Yeah, they averaged 313.5 yards throwing the ball, which is second in the league. So it's going to be a tough task for the Oakland Raiders secondary, which needs to get healthy. Hopefully Terrell Brown comes back. DJ Hayden did have some big struggles yesterday's game. He had a couple penalty calls. One was a taunting. One was a pass interference. He did have that interception, but it was called back because he did drop it, so technically it wasn't an interception. TJ Carey, he's been a nice surprise in the secondary. So the Raiders secondary's got to play an outstanding game. They're the key to the Raiders' success this week against the Denver Broncos, in my opinion. Also, the run defense got to show up, but the Broncos really don't run that well. They ranked 27th in rushing. They only averaged 94 yards rushing the ball. So, we all know Denver's going to throw the ball. They're going to spread out the field, put 5 receivers or 4 receivers... and just let the ball fly. That's what they're going to do. That's what the Denver Broncos have been since they acquired Peyton Manning. And they have some good receivers. The Raiders are going to have to, they got Julius Thomas, Demaryius Thomas. They have Wes Welker out there, Emmanuel Sanders. So we all know the Broncos receiving corps is just stacked. So, and that's going to be, like I said, the big key for the Raiders' success this Sunday is the Raiders' secondary. If the secondary can hold up and the Raiders can get off on third down, then it's gonna be a good day for the Raiders. If not, if they're gonna just let Denver just throw the ball downfield and just let Peyton Manning place the ball wherever he wants to, then it's gonna be a long day. But I feel like our pass rush is way better than it was years before. And I feel Khalil Mack is going to get pressure on Peyton Manning and also like guys like Antonio Smith, who also, I forgot to mention this earlier in the show, but who had a good game on the defensive side of the ball was Justin Allis. Justin Jelly Bean Allis. He had a great game. He was stopping Marshawn Lynch, and he was getting pressure in the middle, and that's what they're going to need. Antonio Smith was putting pressure. I saw Justin Tuck get into the pocket. So the defensive line's been playing great lately. Knock on wood. Hopefully that keeps on happening. But on the offensive side of the ball, the Raiders are going to have to they're going to have to try to keep Peyton Manning off the field. And by doing that, they're going to have to move the chains, and the Raiders are going to have to start running the ball well. Like, they've tried to run the ball, and it's not working, but the offensive line's got to start making holes or something, or they've got to get the offensive coordinator, Greg Olsen's got to start calling screens or just something to get these running backs into open field and letting them do what they're good at. Like, Maurice Jones-Drew, I give Maurice Jones-Drew a lot of crap. I do. But I saw when he was in and they tried to hand it off, the ball off to him, there was just nothing there. As soon as he got the ball, there was like five defenders there. So the offensive line's got to get more productive in opening holes for these running backs, because pass protection's great. The Raiders only allowed one sack yesterday. But other than that, Derek Carr has time to throw the ball. So the Raiders got to start making holes for these running backs. They do. And if they want to keep on moving the ball and moving the chains and have the time click off the clock, they're going to have to learn how to run the ball successfully. And that's been a big problem this year for the Oakland Raiders. And it seems like every week I keep on saying the same thing about the running game, that they need to start running the ball well, successfully. It's like kind of tired of hearing myself say that. You are too. I know you guys are tired of me saying the same thing, but I'm going to stop. I'm going to keep on talking about it unless the Raiders fix it. So we'll see what happens there. Derek Carr, he's done it before. He's played toe-to-toe with guys like Tom Brady, Phillip Rivers, who else? You know, guys like that this year, like he hasn't shied away, and he's played with the best of them. But he's got to do that again this week against Peyton Manning. If Peyton Manning throws a touchdown, Derek Carr is going to have to answer back with a touchdown, because field goal, the Raiders putting up field goals is not going to win them this game this week. It's not. You don't kick field goals and expect to win game against the Denver Broncos. I feel like Raider Nation, Oakland, it's going to be bumping. I feel like the crowd's going to get into it, so that's going to be a plus for the Raiders, a good little incentive for the Raiders. Raiders got to, I don't want to say make the Broncos one-dimensional, because they kind of already are, because they usually just throw the ball, but they can't let the running game for the Broncos get going, because then it's just, then that just makes Denver firing on all cylinders, and that's just going to be a bad look for the Raiders. But if they can frustrate Peyton Manning and the passing game, then the Raiders have a real shot at winning this game. But by doing that, they got to get pressure on Peyton Manning, have him scramble in the pocket, and just don't make him uncomfortable. And that's what the Patriots did last night against the Broncos. They made Peyton Manning uncomfortable, and look at the result, a 20-point win for the New England Patriots. Also, New England was getting a lot of production from the offense. Tom Brady was having one of his best games of the year. Julius Edelman was having one of his best games of the year.
He had 3 total touchdowns.
And also, I'm going to say this, special teams was a big part for the Raiders' resurgence in the second half yesterday. So if the Raiders can get some good things from special teams, like good field position after like punt returns and kick returns and like pinning the Broncos deep in their own territory, like by Marquette King, who's one of the best young punters in the game right now. If he can, like, if they can pin the Broncos deep in their own territory and not give them good field position, then the Raiders can do this. They can pull off the upset. It's possible. Trust me, I know people don't think we can win. I don't. I really don't, because they're like, oh, you're talking about that the Raiders need to run the ball successfully, but the Broncos have the number one rushing defense in the league. That's fine. I know that's fine, but it's a whole different story when it's on the field. If these games were played on paper, obviously, things wouldn't turn out the way they are. If games were played on paper, the Arizona Cardinals probably wouldn't be 7-1. So, it's any given Sunday. Anything can happen on Sundays. And this season's proved that. It has. It's a winnable game for the Raiders. It honestly is. It really is. It's just the offensive line's going to have the two keys on the offensive side is the offensive line, because they're going to have the Broncos have great pass rushers and Von Miller, DeMarcus Ware, and guys like that. So it's going to be hard to open up holes, but they have to open up holes for these running backs like McFadden, Jones-Drew, Marcel Reese to get more involved and to be more productive and to have this team come successful. It all has to mesh together. The offense and the defense have to play well together in order for the Raiders to win this game. Derek Carr is gonna have to, they're gonna have to limit his turnovers. There's 2 INTs. He can't expect to throw 2 INTs and still expect to be winning, not winning the game, but to be even close to winning the game. It's gonna be tough. Trust me, I know. It's gonna be tough. I'm not saying it's going to be easy that, oh, the Raiders can just slack off and, they can win. But the Raiders need to just leave it all out there on the field. I think they know this by now. They know that they don't have, like, big expectations. And honestly, like, I just feel like when Denver's coming into this game, yeah, they got blown out, and yeah, they want to prove a point that they're still one of the dominant teams in the league, and they're going to try to take it out on us, but I feel like they don't respect us. I really don't. I really feel like they don't respect us, and that's fine. And once we beat them and smack them in the mouth, they'll start respecting us. And the Raiders got to get off to a fast start. They got to score on the first drive. It's going to be very interesting to see, but I feel like the Raiders can make it interesting and can make this game closer than what people expect. But we'll see, and we'll talk about it next Monday on Raider Rage. So we're out of time. This is Raider Rage. I am DJ Smooth. Be sure to tune in next Monday, and we'll recap on between the game between the Denver Broncos and the Oakland Raiders. Make sure to catch the game Sunday at 1:05 on CBS. I am DJ Smooth. This is Raider Rage, and you're listening to radio.dominican.edu. Have a great day.